Hey guys, it's Jason. Just a quick message before we get started with this podcast version of the post-game live call-in show for USA Mexico Dos Acero. I just got to say it. I can't help it. First up, I was not on this show for most of it. Nikki Soup and Sausage stepped in to host. I was on radio duty for USA Mexico. I did get in at the end. And also a quick note about the quality of the show. Just a little bit off. We had some technical stuff at the end with Jared Dubois' connection, but trust me, it's well worth a listen. Thank you very much for hanging out with us, and we'll talk to you guys very soon. Join us for the Sunday night show coming up when we talk that victory over Mexico, and then Tuesday night, USA Jamaica will be live post-game.
When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
What's going on, best soccer show? I can't do the here we go. That's not my thing. But I'm going to do my best to fill the big, massive shoes of one Jason Davis. Glad you're with us, American soccer fans, and maybe even some Mexican fans tonight. Can we all say, let's just say it one more time. Dos
Acero,
baby. The United States win 2-0 in Cincinnati. They beat Mexico in the World Cup qualifier tonight. And Jared, I'll tell you what, man. There were times tonight where I thought, I don't know if this is going to be the U.S.'s night, but Wonder Boy comes onto the pitch.
It's that score line. It's that scoreline. It's that feeling. It's that city. It's all the things that we know over and over again that have worked for the U.S. It's that weather. It ain't snowing, but it's cold and rainy. You know, the Mexico was too scared to even come out at halftime because it started raining. Thought they're gonna make like the Witch of the West just gonna melt out there, and they did. This is two halves of soccer. You saw the old school Mexico. After the first 10 minutes or so, really start to take the game on. And the first half, it was Mexico's half. Second half, that team didn't come out of the locker room at all. They really were on the backfield. They looked tired. They looked older. They looked just not on the pace, not like Mexico. And the U.S., what's been frustrating for the U.S. through qualifying is that they've been slow in the first half, that they've turned it on in the second half. And you see that again today in that if they're a second half team. But when the second half team gets you to Dos Acero in Columbus, excuse me, Cincinnati, I should have said earlier that it's that city, it's that state, excuse me.
I know
it just feels right. And I know for you, it's got to feel good. It's close to home too. I know you're here instead of there, and I love you for it, Nick.
I got to tell you, I was nervous heading into this match. And the reason for that, Jared, is because, look, that stadium has not had a history of winning. It just hasn't. So I was very concerned going into this match that would the losing that has continued to happen in that stadium, you know, blend into the American side of things. And thankfully it did not. Thankfully the United States men have the same amount of wins as FC Cincinnati does in that stadium. That's sad. Let's get that fact out of the way, but I don't care because tonight they knock off Mexico. I can just breathe a little easier. Maybe that washes away the losing feeling, and maybe things can turn around for the orange and blue. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight.
It's a good night. Good night. And it started right from the beginning with the lineup. Greg Berhalter found a way not to crap the bed. He put 11 players out that made sense, a formation that made sense. If anything, the lineup was boring, and that's a good thing. If the lineup is boring, that's a good thing when it comes to Greg Berhalter, because no real standouts. The Yedlin choice, maybe a couple of people could take issue with, but in the end, it's not a bad choice. The Stefan versus Turner, also something that's more of just a kind of coach's decision. There wasn't anything weird out there. Fans were happy not to see Paul Arriola on the field. Fans were happy to see a few other positions as well, not taking risks with. It just goes to show, when you put out a good lineup, when you put out a good team with a formation that makes sense, you can get results, and your players respond to that because they understand what's going on.
Yep. So just let's backtrack, set the stage a little bit. For those of you who are tuning in, maybe for the first time tonight. I am not Jason Davis. I am Nikki Soup and Sausage. That was Salad. The original nickname, which Sushi. Then became Nikki Soup and Salad. And then it became Nikki Soup and Sushi. You know what? I think maybe we should just stick with Nikki Soup and Skyline.
That's been the big topic. Nikki Soup and Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, I like that. So because Jason is not here tonight, he's a little busy right now doing his thing over on the real job side of things.
We love him for it. Don't go tune into that though.
We love him for it. We appreciate all that he does.
Don't be clicking around trying to find your CSXM station. I guarantee you we're better here.
With all that said, even though Jason's not here, we still have open phone lines. 717-727-BEST. Get in touch with us. We got phone lines standing by. Our boy Connor braving the phone lines tonight. First time doing it, so be patient with the man.
He
stepped up tonight, and he's going to screen the calls for us tonight. Let us know who's on the line. So, again, if you want to get in touch with us, 717-727-BEST, best here tonight on the
Best. If you're in the parking lot, I want to hear a call from the stadium maybe. Absolutely. Maybe we'll get lucky and get a call from the stadium. But more than anything, guys, give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking. It's USA-Mexico, for God's sakes. It's USA-Mexico, and the U.S. just won 2-0. You have to have a take. You have to have a feeling right now. I want to know what that take is. I want to know what that feeling is. And also the question is, can we trust this team now? Are we getting to the point where we can start to trust this team a little bit? And we could think that maybe it was all leading up to this game. And there's another one in this cycle. It's the away game to Mexico. Those are the two games that we're really going to judge the progress of this team on. They get an A tonight. As much as the first half was a back and forth, they get an A tonight for stepping up and living up to the USA-Mexico legend. There's a couple things we're going to have to talk about when you talk about the Jamaica game down the road. You've got no Weston McKennie, no Miles Robinson now. There's going to be some adjustments for that game. But I think there's players on the bench and players that are ready to step in. That's going to make the next game kind of fun too, I think, down the road.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, we've got phone lines open, 717-727-BEST. Let's go to the phone lines and let's welcome in Felix from Chicago. Felix, what's going on, man?
What's going on? I didn't even tell anybody. You guys must have me on the speed dial, the caller ID at this point. Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to call in, excited about the win. 2-0 means something again. It's not just something from 10 years ago. It's come back. It's fantastic. So that's really exciting. In terms of the way the game played out, Jared, I don't know what your thoughts were. I felt like we looked best, not when we were trying to play out of the back, but when we were pressing. And I think the way the midfield and the forward line and the defense was kind of pushed up, and I think it kind of constricted the space, and Mexico wasn't really able to pass out of the back outside of that one time when Chucky Lozano got that one really good chance.
Yeah.
Other than that, I thought their pressing really was effective, and Mexico couldn't really put together a rhythm. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that in the annoying gnat that is Brendan Aaronson, the guy that's just always around and always buzzing and always in a player's face, you get that natural kind of pressure, that relentlessness that forces long balls out of the back. And then also, this can feel weird to some people, I'm going to say Ricardo Pepi had a bit of a Giassi Zardes night in a good way, in that he was active, picked the right times to press. Ricardo Pepi, if you watch him over the last couple of games, he seems like he was pressing just to press, and when it wasn't a team press. Tonight, he found a really good rhythm of knowing when to step up, when to put pressure on the ball. Between Pepi and Aaronson, there was a lot of activity on that back line, and it made hard to play balls out. And I think the other reason why you kind of feel that way, Felix, is that I think one of the things that feels like pressing, but is actually a different thing that worked for the U.S. tonight, is having that Musa in that hole between the two that could get the second ball, and he's instantly turned up field and running, and having a partner in Tim Weah that also wants to run. If you think about where the U.S. was successful going forward, right side. Right side all night long. Left side was more of a holding side. It was more of a they switched to point of attack and stuff like that with it. But when you think about where the U.S. was dangerous, it was Musa, Weah combining, going up that right flank and really pushing out a back line that was missing some of its better players. So I think the game plan to have that speed and that push and to make Mexico feel awkward on the back line really worked tonight. And I think that that press that you're talking about, the pressure you get with Tyler Adams in midfield and Weston McKennie in midfield, when that second ball drops out and you've got a Yunus Musa sitting there in that pocket ready to turn and push, that's where the U.S. looked best tonight for me. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I agree with you. I kind of want to piggyback on what you said there, attacking on the right side of the pitch. For me, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but I thought that was probably the best performance in a U.S. shirt I've ever seen out of Tim Weah. I genuinely thought that was the best.
And we haven't had a lot. If you're listening to youth games, you know, but he's had some. But I think you're seeing that player that has shown well. And I said this on Twitter a little bit ago after the goal. That's the step. That's the service that Timothy Weah has served well to Jonathan David for the last year in France. And Christian Pulisic, guys at the top level know where to do that, have that movement in the box. Know when that step happens on one side, you step into the middle in front of the defender. And that's what Christian Pulisic did. That's the soccer IQ that, while Brendan Aaronson does a lot of stuff really well, I don't think Brendan Aaronson is going to be in that position for that ball.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a rhythm play. That's a instinct play of knowing when Weah, you see him put his shoulder down and make that step to the end line, you're cutting across the six. Because you know, if in theory, Anthony Robinson should be cutting back to the 18. If you miss it, if it goes over your head, you have to drive to that six and try to get that finish, which he did.
Yeah. Anything else to add there, Felix?
No. The only other thing I wanted to say was, it'll be interesting how we're going to adjust now for the Jamaica game, with Miles out,
yeah,
and with Weston out. And I'm more concerned about, as much as I love Miles Robinson, I feel like we do have some cover there. I don't know who it'll be. With Weston, because Weston's really rounding into really good form now. This is Weston at his best, right?
Yeah.
And so now I guess it's going to be Acosta. But Greg also talked about how much he loved Busio and how Busio was, and he felt like Busio was pushing his way into the starting lineup. Does he play Busio against that physical Jamaica team at the office? I don't know. I don't know. I'm curious what your thoughts are. If I'm allowed to kind of look ahead. For a minute there.
No, absolutely. We appreciate the call, Felix. I think what we're probably going to see, and this is probably something you've been screaming for a while, Jared, is Chris Richards. Like, is this, if without Miles playing, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Walker can go again. Do you want Walker to go again?
I think Walker's going again, whether he wants to or not.
Right.
We're at that point right now.
Yeah. Walker and Chris Richards to me is the pairing at center back against Jamaica.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see anything other than that. It's good if you're going to get a red card. If you're going to get a red card, it's probably good to do it in a two-game window because Greg Berhalter can lean on a lot of players to go 290s back-to-back. You're not worried about that third game. You're not worried about having something in the tank in a longer window. This is the right window. This is the window also with Mexico being the first game that you put all your chips on the table and you pull all the levers that you can pull, and this is the game that you try to make sure you secure 3 points in, because you can play negatively in Jamaica and try to get a draw or a counter or something like that. And I can't remember if it was Felix or if it was you, Nick, that said that mentioned Busio, but I think
that was Felix.
Yeah. As much as I want to say Busio gets a start in the next game, you might see Kellen Acosta. I'm not sure that, but I think it's going to be Busio because I think the McKennie absence, I think Busio is the closest thing to a natural player that can unite the defense and start the offense. I don't really know what other player you have in that role. Maybe Sebastian Legette gets the start. I think that a lot of people are going to be unhappy if that's the case, but Greg Berhalter sometimes is very pragmatic. And if he wants a pragmatic choice, he's going to put Sebastian Legette in there, a guy that he has confidence in. But if you want to make the fan base happy and maybe be a little bit more aggressive, I think Gianluca Busio is your guy.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, let's go back to the phone, shall we? Let's welcome in Stefan from L.A. Stefan, welcome to the Best Soccer Show. Hi, how are you?
Zach?
Good, how are you guys doing?
Hey, we're feeling good, man. Dos Acero once again. I love it.
Dos Acero. I just wanted to say, you know, I can nitpick, but overall, bigger picture, tonight was a dang near perfect night, right? A dang near perfect match, you know? The other thing to realize is we're not going to have a match. This could very well be the last type of match that we have. Because with us co-hosting the next tournament, they don't have qualifiers. And then with the 48-team 2030 World Cup, who knows what's in that? Maybe we'll be in separate groups or something. So the idea of a fourth qualifying match against Mexico being won, Dos Acero like just like in the old days, happened again tonight, something we missed, and could very well be the swan song for that. It might not happen again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, honestly, you know, it's a good, you know, if they were about to score that third goal, I'd rather them miss, and rather than kept the zero just for that sake, to be honest.
I don't know. How do you feel about that, Jared?
I'm sorry, he was cutting out a little bit. What did he say right there?
He's talking about the fact that he didn't want them to score the third goal, even though Ferreira almost had that chance there.
Oh, I think Ferreira pulled a Dempsey. I don't know if you guys remember, but Clint Dempsey back in, what was it, 2013, 14?
I still don't think he missed that on purpose.
Jason and I were there. We loved to think that he missed it on purpose. You know, in person, it looked like he could have scored that probably, but it was a wide. I think Ferreira just knew how to troll Mexico best. You know how you troll Mexico really well? You take a striker that they want, and then you beat them 2-0.
That's true. You got anything else to add, Stefan?
He definitely missed it on purpose. He definitely missed it on purpose. Okay, Dempsey missed it on purpose. No, just saying it's a dang near perfect night. You know, I agree with you guys. You know, love to see Buzio next week. I'd love to see Chris Richards on the back line there. And, you know, I'm just very happy with how things turned out. Very confident team. Very confident in everything. And we're top of the table.
Absolutely. And as you should be, Stefan. Appreciate the call, brother.
Thanks, guys. See you guys.
That's Stefan in L.A. joining us here on the
Was
Best
that just me
show.
That he was cutting out, or was that just...
No, it was happening here, too.
Okay, yep. All right. I just want to make sure, because you seemed to understand him great. I was like, huh?
Yeah, it was cutting in and out a little bit.
That's I appreciate okay. you, though, Stefan. Absolutely. I appreciate you, from my brother, who pronounces it Steven, to you, who pronounces it Stefan. Stefan, congratulations. And speaking of Steven, my brother, I was texting with him during the game, and he made a really, really good comment, and I think this is one of the things that became apparent as we watched this game go on. This is the midfield.
Yep.
The MMA midfield of Musa, McKinney, Adams. This is the one. This could be special. This midfield could be special over the course of 6-8 years. And what I really kind of like about that is they're going to get pushed. The Bucios, the De La Torres, the potentially Reyna, with the way Weah's looking up in that right side, potentially Gio Reyna. This midfield is going to get pushed for spots. That's
you can
a good
even argue
thing.
With Aronson pushing Pulisic.
Yeah, and there's players that we're deep, and we're deep at 23. And think about this, U.S. fans. Think about this. You just went 2-0 in Ohio with a U-23 team. A dirty U-23 team. It feels so good.
I'll tell you what, even watching that game, Jared, it felt like a U-23 team. It felt that you could tell they had that youthful energy. The Mexico squad, it seemed obviously an older group, aging group, and some of the key positions didn't look as quick, didn't look as sharp. And I thought to myself, man, this is a lot different than I'm used to seeing when these two teams face each other. Like, I'm not used to seeing, you know, Mexico being slow on the ball and just not able to handle the press. And even though there were a couple times where thankfully Chucky Lozano missed that first half chance. And by the way, let's give a little credit where credit is due, right? A lot of folks, myself included, I will raise my hand. I believe you're in this camp as well. You thought Matt Turner should be the starter. You thought Matt Turner should be the starter.
I still probably do, to be honest with you. But yeah. Zach's credit where credit's due. Zach Steffen had a great game. He had a really, really good game. I think there was one in particular, beautiful split pass, like almost a midfield. Great pass. That being said, I still feel nervous. I don't know why. I still feel nervous. It's like he's so nonchalant a lot some of the times. Great game. We've got two really good choice for keeper. And that's the same thing we were talking about when we were talking about the midfield. This team's going to have players to push other players. And think about back in the previous golden age for the U.S. national team when Friedel and Keller were pushing each other for that role, you know, like that's some of the best times and best keepers that we've had. And they'll talk about it. They'll talk about how much it hurt when the other guy was starting and how much that would push them in camp. We've got that in a number of different positions right now all over the field. And I think it's a really cool thing to think about over the next 6 to 8 years.
Yeah. I love this comment in the chat. I know you're not a fan, but I'm obviously, anytime I have the chance to bring up Skyline Chili, I certainly will. Steve in the chat says, Skyline Chili for everyone. I'm certainly down for that. We've got phone lines open. 717-727-BEST. That's 717-727-BEST. Let's go to Scott from Texas. You're on the Best Soccer Show.
Hey, how's it going? This is Scott from Texas.
What's going on, Scott?
Hey, I just want to say it's so awesome to see, you know, our boys, the golden generation that's over in Europe right now, really living up to their potential. You know, McKinney, Pulisic, they're coming back. You know, Pulisic's been injured for, you know, I don't know how many months.
His career?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he could just be, like, on ice in between U.S. men's national team games. Like, he's doing great. He looked great out there.
Yeah, I think you made the comment about the form. I think we talked about a little bit last week coming into this window that McKinney and Adams were in form. I think you saw that tonight. Wes McKinney had another chance earlier in the game where he put it right at Ochoa. And really, just the first words out of my mouth were anywhere else. And for Juventus, he's been active. He's had shots outside, I mean, right around that 18-yard box. And he's finished a couple lately. He's also had a couple where he should have finished. And I started thinking, man, this is that duality of Weston McKennie where he's in a great position, making a late run into the box, doing everything you want him to do, but you want him to have the finish. And then a little bit later on, he has the finish, a much simpler one. But I thought Weston McKennie still had a great game. I think he was one of the talking points, one of the phrases coming out of the press conference yesterday that a lot of people were talking about was that phrase that Berhalter put out there of big engines. And you saw that tonight. You saw those big engines. And I'm going to give you a couple of them. It's the two that are obvious in Adams and McKennie. But another one is Anthony Robinson. And I thought Anthony Robinson had some poor moments in the first half, but still, I still think that he is the left back of choice. I think he's got a big engine in him. You saw it in the second half or towards the stretch, 82nd minute or something like that, driving down the field still. The Mexico players are not even able to keep up with him because he's got all this energy. We've got these guys that are just like...
They couldn't even foul him. They tried to.
They're 21 years old. They're fueled on Red Bull and vodka, you know, and and they're just bombing down the field. And you got these 35-year-old legs on the other side. I mean, it's rough. It was rough. If you're a Mexico fan, you are not happy with the way that team looked in the second half. And Tata Martino might be out of a job.
Ooh, that's a good point. Hey, Scott, I got to ask you, who's your man of the match tonight?
I got to say McKennie. He played the whole match. He did great the whole time. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, all is forgiven with McKennie. You know, the past is the past. We're living in the present. And, I mean, he looks so good on that goal. Like, he looks almost nonchalant putting it past Ochoa there. I mean, it was beautiful.
Absolutely. We appreciate the call, Scott. Thanks for tuning in tonight here on the Best Soccer Show. We've got lines open. Again, get in touch with us, 717-727-PEST. When you call in, let us know your man of the match. And if you're in Cincinnati, if you were there at TQL Stadium, give us a ring. We've called? Got like, yes, it is called TQL Stadium.
I do want to throw this out there from the chat. Technically, Tyler Adams probably had New York Red Bull and vodka in his veins.
Well played, Stefan. Well played. All right, let's go to the phones again. And let's welcome in friend of the show, Ty from Lansing. Ty, what's going on?
Welcome to my boy, Ty. Show. What up, baby?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, hey, man. You throw a few back tonight during the game?
You know I am. I am.
Okay.
I've got the Founders Backwoods Bastard Barrel Oak Age extremely stiff stout. Look.
So many adjectives in that name.
The previous... Oh, yeah. But look, no shame to the other callers. I get it. But I can honestly not believe that I call it in and said, oh, man, we picked up a couple yellow cards. How are we going to adjust our back line against Jamaica? Like, what? What on this night of all nights, the night we beat Mexico three times in 1 year for the first time since 1937, this team, the way this team played, the way this team looked, Jared, you know, I started watching in the 2010 World Cup cycle. And I love that team. I love those players and all the old heads, you, Jason, everybody who'd been following their whole lives. Oh, this team, they've got all the grit, all the hustle. They've got a little bit of pace. They got a little bit of quality. If you just had a little bit more, we'd be there. And I look at this team and I look at Timothy Weah. I look at Christian Pulisic, look at Weston McKennie. I look at these guys, Tyler Adams, these guys are stepping up. They have that pace. They have that talent. They have that quality, but they're showing the fire. They're showing the grit. You know, 67th minute, Pulisic's coming in. People are getting chippy. There's chest bumps. There's shoves. There's cards. There's refs. There's whistles.
Eye
there's
gouges.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys. Yeah. And it's like, and those guys are the ones that are stepping up and making the difference. And Weah was making the runs. Made the cross, the assist, you know, Pulisic comes in, like all that stuff. And then in the 91st minute, it's Weah tracking back with his substitute waiting to come in, tackle. Making a slide tackle to deny a chance. Like that hustle, that fire, that work rate, it's American soccer. It's American soccer to the next level. It's what we've wanted to see since then. And it's just so fun to watch this team go out and dominate with athleticism and hustle and grit and also pace and also quality, play in the soccer we've wanted to see them play. I could not be happier right now.
Yeah, it's a complete performance. And one of the things that makes that way is that we didn't put out that defensive-minded lineup at home. We didn't put Kellen Acosta when we could have. He could have easily not put Yunus Musa on the field and put Kellen Acosta out there and thought about being, I'll say it again, pragmatic. Like thinking about just getting a result, get a counter somewhere and get a goal. That's the way U.S. has been successful in the past. And he didn't do it. We said credit to Zach Steffen earlier. We're talking about all the people that get hate. Greg Berhalter gets a lot of hate. Not tonight. Not for me. I think he put out the right lineup. I think he made the right moves down the stretch, and he put the right formation out there, and he gave the guys the chance to play. And you can see the first 10 minutes, they were flying. Then they had the rough patch they usually have in that first half. Second half, come out, and they did not take their foot off the pedal the entire half. Ty, just real quick, I want to get your idea. What do you think of Walker Zimmerman tonight? I think that you talk about guys that step and did a U.S.-Mexico performance. I think that was a U.S.-Mexico performance out of Walker Zimmerman.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree. And it's like, you know, hey, the next game, throw it out the window, right? I don't care if we lose however many 0 against Jamaica. I don't care if we put 10 men behind the ball and go 0-0. I don't care. This is the win we needed to get. And you could tell who it mattered to. You could tell who stepped up. And Zimmerman was 100% one of those guys.
Yeah, he was. Right on, man. Thought he played really well. Ty, appreciate the call, man.
Absolutely. Anytime, Jen.
Ty from Lansing here on the Best Soccer Show. Like I said, all night we've got lines open, 717-727-BEST, 717-727-BEST. Of course, if you don't want to chime in on the phones, you can always leave your comments here on YouTube or Twitch if you're watching there, along with Jared Dubois. I am Nick Suberling, filling in for the massive shoes of Jason Davis.
Massive shoes. He ain't hung up. So real quick, I didn't get to see, and I'm seeing a couple images on Twitter, but I'm not seeing really good ones. What was the Pulisic shirt? What did it say? I said something about Man in the Mirror, but please tell me right above Man in the Mirror, it said, it starts with the, like, I'm talking about the Man in the Mirror. Tell me it was a Michael Jackson quote, first of all.
I honestly didn't see it. Haven't seen a shot of it. So yeah, if you're watching us live and you're in the chat, let us know what that shirt said. That would be super helpful. Should we go back?
By the way, he went to the barber and asked for the Mason Mount cut. Just so you know, that's Mason Mount's haircut. My man just took it. He said, "Give me the Mount."
Nice.
Oh, well, Connor, and who's handling the phones for us tonight said it's countering a quote from Ochoa where he said something about we only see ourselves through Mexico. So it's talking some shit back to Ochoa. You know, it's that kind of night. He's talking some shit back to Mexico, and I'm okay with it personally.
Well, speaking of giving Greg some props, let's go to Dee from Tampa. She's on the Best Soccer Show. Dee, welcome to the Best Soccer Show. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Doing well. You want to give Greg some props, huh?
Definitely, because a few weeks back I called in, and I think most of the fan base that night, we pretty much were just ragging on Greg, but I definitely have to say he hit all the beats tonight. It's probably the best the team's looked, and so I don't want to even get any. I don't want to be negative at all, but the team looked great tonight, and he hit every note. No weird lineups, no 3-5-2s, no. They just look great tonight, and I just have to give him his props. But I also don't want to be like, you know, get happy because it's been more downs than ups. But tonight was great. Felt like you know, 6-7 years ago when Clinton Dempsey and those guys are playing. This team feels like they can make that next step if they kind of just keep pushing this way.
Yeah, D, you know what? You kind of mentioned it right there. Sorry, I think my internet cut out right there real quick.
It's been doing it.
Sorry about that, man. But you kind of mentioned it right there. I think this is the kind of performance you want to see. And it's Mexico. We've watched this team step up 3 times against Mexico now. Is this team step up for the smaller teams, or is it just some struggles here and there? I think we'll see coming out of this game what kind of momentum. What do they take to Jamaica with them after this? Because we've seen 3 times now in the last year. They can step up for Mexico and get a result. maybe like as a guy who grew up in LA and watches the Lakers, and even with the best Laker teams, they always seem to struggle against the minnows of the league because they just couldn't get up for him. Is this team struggling to get up for the smaller games? I don't know, but we've seen up and down performances back to back over and over again. I'm looking to see what are they going to do in the second game? What are they going to do in a second game window when all the emotions of Mexico start to simmer down and you don't have that adrenaline anymore? You've got the 3 points, you put that in your pocket. Do you take your foot off the pedal, or do you push on for a better performance again in Jamaica? That's what I want to see coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, D, I apologize. Jared's giving me grief because I called you a she. I did not mean to. I apologize.
We have a Patreon member named D. We have a Patreon member.
We play poker with D in the Patreon bestie poker night, so I apologize. I assumed that was her. But, hey, we're glad you called in.
No worries.
What do you want to see against Jamaica out of Greg? Do you want to see a team that's some rotation? Do you want him to see him roll out the same lineup?
I want to see rotations, but I don't want to see like a six-player rotation. Maybe like, yeah, obviously you have to put Robinson. Robinson's gone, so you have to account for him. But you know, 2-3 players here and there. But I don't want to see this big 6-8 player rotations and weird lineups. Like, you're going to Jamaica. Jamaica's not Jamaica of old. Sure. This Jamaica team is still kind of finding itself, and so you need to go down. I'm Jamaican also, but I'm a U.S. fan, so it hurts me when the U.S. plays Jamaica, but. You go out to Jamaica, you gotta ram it down their throats, man. You can't give them any life. If Jamaica scores one goal early, it gets crazy there. Like those 5,000 Jamaicans will be blazing in the seats, figuratively and literally. So you gotta step on their throats.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Hey, appreciate the call, D. Thanks for calling in.
Shout out to Yunus Musa, too.
There you go. I like that one.
You know, it is interesting. We're seeing a little bit in the chat out here.
I've seen the name Scally. We didn't even see him. Yeah. That's your guy.
Didn't dress tonight. Yeah. And I think but we've seen Berhalter not dress a guy and then start him in the next game. I think obviously he's being brought in to see how he does in camp. It's kind of an exploratory visit.
Sure.
But with 3 points in your back pocket against the USA, it gives you a little bit of carte blanche to take a little bit of risk in the next game. And I think maybe this is where you kind of bleed Scally in. You know, maybe the Mexico game isn't the game. Because DeAndre Yedlin had some good moments. He really, really did. But on the ball, I thought there were a few times where he gave up the ball and he was a little bit careless with the ball. I thought defensively it was decent. You know what's surprising, though? For most of his career, what's the one attribute you always associate with DeAndre Yedlin?
Pace.
Did you see him trying to catch up to Chucky Lozano?
Yeah.
Like, I know the guy's older these days, but man, it was weird to see DeAndre Yedlin not have that pace that you equate him with over the course of his career.
Well, that, and you compare it to the flip side, Anthony Robinson up and down the left side. He was running by Mexican players all night. So you compare the two, and you're right. DeAndre Yedlin did not look up to speed like we're used to seeing out of DeAndre Yedlin in years past, right? I mean, I agree with you 100%. But I also thought defensively, I thought he played pretty well against Lozano and really kept him in check for most. And I thought he had a pretty silent night.
I thought the second half, I mean, almost every time you saw Lozano, it was wide. It was wide at the front of the Mexico third, not really getting behind as much. I thought Corona disappeared in the second half. I thought Jimenez disappeared in the second half.
But even in the first half, when Lozano did have that chance down the middle, Yedlin was the guy right there trailing him and ended up catching up to him right as he got that shot off, preventing him to go far post, really, and making him take that shot to Stefan's left. So got to give Yedlin some credit there.
For sure. He was able to catch up enough to put a little bit of pressure on it. But it's just, I don't know. I still feel the right back position is almost theme oriented. From game to game, you have to ask yourself, what do you want from the right back position? Whereas Anthony Robinson has firmed himself up as the starter. He's a complete player. Is he a finished player? No, he's not. He's got stuff he still needs to improve on, but he's a fairly complete left back. He's good at most things that a left back is asked to do. Whereas when you have Serginho Dest, you know you have defensive frailty, you know. Mm-hmm. And then with Reggie Cannon, you've got a guy that hasn't played in months. You know, he was the guy, you know. DeAndre Yedlin, suspect on the ball. You know, I think decision-making sometimes is rough with him. In Joe Scally, you have a guy that's got a light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, ooh, this is someone coming up. But he hasn't had the chance to really show what he can do at the highest level on the national team just yet. Only 10 games, I think, or so on his professional career so far. Mm-hmm. The right back position right now, you have to ask yourself, what do you want from it? What do you want from it from game to game? And that makes it kind of hard when you're the center backs. When you're the Walker Zimmermans and you're the Miles Robinsons, and every game there's a different featured right back next to you. They're professionals. They're going to get the job done. But there's rhythms. There's cadences. There's awareness. There's chemistry. And that stuff changes every game. And I think that's difficult, a difficult thing to ask from the players.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's welcome in Ryan from Peoria. Ryan, you're on the Best Soccer Show.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
We're doing well. Dos Acero, man. Can't complain.
Oh, that was going to be my first point with Dos Acero. Absolutely. Jared just mentioned the adrenaline before, and we're a couple martinis deep here in Illinois and feeling good.
Well, wait. What kind of martinis, though? Hold on. What kind of martinis are you talking about?
We're lemon drops. We're in our 20s. We're still drinking like high schoolers. It's lemon drops.
It. Listen, Matt, your hangover's your business.
A drink I've never had.
Exactly. Oh my God, I got to do the wedding tomorrow, but that's fine. We'll figure out the hangover in the morning.
I don't know what's worse, the movies that Nick hasn't seen or the drinks he hasn't had. All right, my man. What's your other thoughts on the game?
All right, so I was just bringing up CONCACAF refereeing. I mean, we've been seeing this lately in Major League Soccer, goalies getting away with murder and things, and Chaka Rodriguez needs himself a seat on the bench, in the stands, at home on an armchair, somewhere. This stuff's ridiculous. Like you guys said, an eye gouge at the very least. And, man, it's really hard to see Miles go off the field while Chaka Rodriguez stays on.
It's tough.
Miles put himself in a bad position, right? I mean, he's behind Lozano. Lozano knew exactly what he was doing. Even watching the play, Miles, I mean, grazes him. What's the ref going to do there?
The ref was put in a position where he had to make a call. You're talking about earlier.
The lack of
it. Yeah. So the early one, the foul on Brendan Anderson, the eye gouge. This is why everyone, you can't not have VAR in CONCACAF of all regions. For God's sakes. We literally have an adjective called a verb called getting CONCACAF'd. You need VAR here. I get that there's some countries that maybe don't have the infrastructure. You know, bring it in for a weekend. You know, bring a sat truck in of some kind. You know, Eyewitness News can do it. Fly one down there. Like, get something in there that can get some into the 21st century, and let's get some regulation around here, because this is the kind of stuff that happens. That guy shouldn't be on the field. And I don't blame the ref. I don't blame the ref. There's a scrum going on right there. He's got a lot to try to watch. The linesman that is behind it all, he can't see it. And the other linesman that could see it is on the whole other side of the field. So I don't fault the refs on this. I fault CONCACAF. How do you not have VAR in the World Cup qualifiers? It's almost like saying it's not worth it. We're going to the World Cup's going to make how many billion dollars for FIFA? And we can't put some of it into the infrastructure of the teams that are playing in the games? Come on, this is ridiculous.
It's just interesting, too, because they were talking about during the telecast that they're talking about adding it for the last couple of rounds. I mean, what the heck? I mean, how that makes zero sense to me, but whatever.
When my wife says okay when I've complained for 3 days. You know, it's like it doesn't mean the same thing. I want you to want it. You know, like I want you to say because you want it. You know, I don't want the pity stuff. Like, they're giving us the pity stuff over there.
Damn, that's it.
I'm no Jason Davis on the drops, but I'm
getting there. You cooked that one up? Wow. Nah,
Jason got that one ready for me. You got anything else to add around?
Jason made a snack pack of drops for...
First off, snack pack of drops is fantastic. Just, you know, you're talking infrastructure. Exactly. As a guy who runs the camera for a living, it's really upsetting that they can't figure out how to get a few cameras in the building. I mean, come on, I'll take $5 and head down to Central America if you're trying to get a 3-camera crew.
I like it. I appreciate the call, Ryan. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Ryan.
No problem. Have a good one, gents. Love you always.
It's Ryan from Peoria. Let's go to this is going to be a good one, Jared.
Oh.
Let's go to Sydney. Sydney was at the match. Sydney, welcome to the Best Soccer Show.
Guys are you guys are giving me a nice welcome there. Yeah, I'm actually driving up I-71 right now. Just headed back to the hotel. Just got out of the match. And, yeah, quite interesting. The previous caller just took most of my points about the refereeing. That was in the Bailey. I couldn't really see what was going on.
Sat in the Bailey tonight.
What's that, for those of us who don't know?
Yeah, well, stood in the Bailey, but...
So the Bailey is the supporter section where behind the goal there at TQL Stadium. So that's where the supporters sit during the match. And so
I got a question.
Standing section only.
I got a question for Sydney then. How close were your seats to the bathroom? Because if you had Skyline Chili, I'm pretty sure that's where you spent most of the game.
I did not have Skyline Chili.
Oh, well done, sir.
But, you know, I'm actually... I'll tell you this, though. I'm actually considering getting it tomorrow for lunch.
Yes.
I hope you're not getting on a plane afterwards.
Sydney, you got to try it. You're in town. You got to try it. Just at least for the experience, try it. Hey, I tried sushi. You can try Skyline.
Last time someone told me you got to try it, I almost went to the hospital. My wife did some weird stuff.
Well, hopefully it doesn't have that same effect on me. But, I want to kind of echo the... previous caller. Disappointing to see Miles get sent off. All the an Atlanta United fan, kind of selfishly, I guess, glad it is just because maybe he gets to head home early, get ready for the playoff match against NYCFC. Disappointing too to see McKinney get that yellow, meaning he'll be out for Jamaica.
No.
Just really impressed with his goal. Of course, Melissa's goal as well, set up by Weah. Weah's fantastic. I thought Musa was fantastic. Anthony Robinson, I wasn't too impressed with in the first half. They had a bit of a howl in the first 20 minutes. Just struggled with passing the ball. I don't know if it was nerves or just out of form, but hopefully he's able to bounce back. It looks like he got better. He got better as the match went on.
No.
So really good to see him bounce back. But really obviously happy with the performance. 3 points against your chief rival. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, I'll say this about Anthony Robinson in the first half and in general. When you have a player like Brendan Aaronson in front of you that is doing so much pressing, and it's a great thing. You want it to be done. But when that press gets broken, Anthony Robinson's in a tough position because then he not only has his mark, but he has the guy that broke the pressure running at him. So we need to keep that in mind too. Yeah. There's a tactical decisions being made in front of him that when it doesn't pay off, he's constantly on his heels with two guys to mark, having to play between two guys. And that's sometimes why you see him get released in behind, because he's having to play in between that line. And it's a tough position for a defender to be in. But I think it's worth it, and he has the athleticism to still compete in those situations, and that you still want Brendan Aaronson to press. Because you didn't see DeAndre Redland nearly in that same position as much, because Tim Weah is coming back and helping more, and he's not doing as much high pressing as Brendan Aaronson is. So I just want to give that out there. It doesn't make excuse for some of the things he had there, like getting nutmegged by Corona. That wasn't good. Yeah. But there are some other situations where I think it's something that that Berhalter is content to live with for what he gets in front of him.
Sydney, I got to ask. You were there at the match. Yeah. Was that your first time in Cincinnati? If it was, what did you make of the stadium? What did you make of the environment? And what did you make of the town and all the surroundings leading up to the match? It sounded like, from everybody who had been there for the first time, that they were pretty impressed with the town.
Yeah, this was actually my second time in Cincy. I was there a number of years ago, but now my first time at TQL. Beautiful ground. Definitely has that European vibe to it. Just a gorgeous ground, and really it's a great home for soccer. The villa was fantastic. You know, I was at the brewery right before the match. Got to take part of the march to the match, and you know, just a fantastic atmosphere. I will say this about the crowd. I'll say it took them a little bit to get into it, but after the first second goal, you know, that really put the crowd on. I would have loved to see that sustained really throughout the whole match, I guess.
Man, that did not feel that way on watching live broadcast.
It sounded amazing
the whole time. I remember thinking, it was like, because I called out the fans at the Austin game. I didn't think the Austin game it was that great. I think, granted, it's odd to hear that he felt it was different in person, because it came across huge. I mean, I remember thinking at points like this is the environment you want to play in. That's a home field advantage. And I think this is, I think the US-Mexico game in Ohio, that's the varsity team when it comes to supporters. Yeah. The varsity guys are flying out for that game. You know, when you get some of these other matches, you get the locals, which are good and all. They've got like 2-3 national team caps that are supporting the team under the belt. This game, you got the varsity team. And these are the guys that have been through this for a couple cycles. They know the intensity. They know the volume. Sure. They know the chance. They know the moments that the team needs them on the field and when they got to pick them up and put them on their shoulders. And I felt, from a perspective at home, that it was amazing. It came across so well. Maybe this is a trick ESPN did with the mics. I don't know, but it sounded great all night.
Sydney, we got to do our best to convince Jared and Jason to come to Cincinnati for a match because they're really missing out. Gross.
Yeah. Hopefully one day they'll make it out. But give Jason a shout. I actually had him on my YouTube live show a few weeks ago. So give him a shout. Yeah, he does a great job covering sport. But really glad I was able to take part in it. Kind of a last-minute decision to go out, but really glad I did.
Well, we appreciate the call. Enjoy that skyline tomorrow, Sydney.
Thanks, well.
Enjoy the go afterwards.
You're crazy. It's not that bad.
Dude, would you eat Skyline chili then get on a plane?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we do right by our audience. Someone that's listening in the morning tomorrow, trying to get some day after content, and they're about to fly out. And I don't want them to think that we're prescribing a big heaping plate of Skyline chili before they get on a cross country flight, you know?
I know Alexi was there today. He seemed to enjoy it.
I don't know, man. I think Alexi's in it for the cause. I think he purged it after he got off camera.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Let's go to Will in Minnesota. Will, welcome to the Best Soccer Show.
Hey guys, thank you for hosting a show tonight. Absolutely awesome result from the guys. I think you guys and everyone else have basically touched on everything. I think the biggest thing here is stamping the authority versus Jamaica. Let's go win another game. And make sure we're in the World Cup. Go and have just a great game and win it and put out our best lineup. And I think that's what we have to do. Obviously, with yellow cards and everything, you can't put out everyone's best player. But we need to go out there and have a great game. That's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
Well, I got to ask you real quick, Will. Who do you want to see in place of those two replacements?
So the one replacement is center back with Miles Robinson. Man, I think it's got to be Chris Richards. I just think that because he's the young up and comer and he is playing at a high level, you got to give him a start for me. Where's the other position we're talking about? Sorry, I've also thrown a few back tonight.
Nice. McKinney, center mid.
Oh, that's a tough one, man. I'm going to let you guys decide that. If I have a choice, I think I put Brennan Aaronson maybe in the middle, but that also creates like a weird kind of like attacking dynamic there. But I also think we will be mostly on the front foot against Jamaica. So maybe that's not a bad idea. And then you start, Pulisic on the wing just to get him some more minutes. And then he's ready to go with Chelsea. I think that might be an idea.
We don't owe Chelsea anything.
I don't think Pulisic can play against
Jamaica. It's not that we owe Chelsea anything. I just want to see Pulisic play more because I do think he's one of our most talented player. I want to see the guy on the field, but I also don't disagree with a few callers ago. Put him in the freeze box. Don't start him. Don't play him until he plays for the U.S. again. But I tend to think you need to play to be informed.
True.
I'll say this a little bit different than when you were asking about what do you want to see at the next game. I personally want to see the U.S. play like a team that's in first place. I want them to go out there with the swagger of a team that's going into the next fixture in first place in CONCACAF qualifying. I think that's that's the next step you want to see from these guys in terms of maturity, consistency, professionalism. You want to see them go out and say, we're the guys to beat. I think the first step of that happened today, but they've struggled to have two good performances back to back. And this one's on the road, and you're going to be without two guys that you normally count on. I want to see the fact that they're missing Miles Robinson, the fact they're missing Weston McKennie doesn't mean shit. I wanted them to come out like, it doesn't matter. We got this other guy, Chris Richards. You heard of him? He plays for Hoffenheim. He's amazing. We got this other guy, Gianluca Busio. He's got the most starts out of any player any person under 21 years old in Serie A this year. We're not scared. We're going to come into your house and we're going to beat you down. That's what I want from the next fixture.
Yep. Anything else, Will?
Jared, I agree with you. I know I gave you a hard time a few nights ago. I respect you. Thank you guys for hosting the show tonight.
Be nice to us out there, man. Be nice to us.
That's Will in Minnesota giving us a ring here. We still got phone lines open. 717-727-BEST. Our man Connor doing his best here, screening the calls for you as we've got a few moments left here in the show. You were kind of talking about center backs, Jared, and what we could do at that spot. Correct me if I'm wrong. McKenzie's on this roster, right?
McKenzie is on this roster.
So
and
we know he struggled the last time he played or put on the U.S. shirt. It just didn't seem... Maybe this is the game that you get him back out there to get some minutes, or are you in the mindset like, hey, let's go get 3 points, put Richards out there?
For me, I think Mark McKenzie is the guy that you bring for if you want to play a three-man back line. I really do. I think that's why he's there, because Walker Zimmerman, I don't know that you can put him in that back line. I don't know that Mark McKenzie, if Walker Zimmerman's good to go, and you're out Miles Robinson, you're stalwart, the guy that's been the most consistent guy for you all season long. You need a guy out there that's been there, a guy that can be a leader on the back line. And let's be honest, the guy that was the better center back against Mexico tonight, Walker Zimmerman had himself a game. Yep. And when Jason and I were talking last week about who our choice center backs were, I said Zimmerman because you need that guy that's going to kill it in the air. That's going to gobble everything up in the air. And that's Walker Zimmerman tonight.
Dude, I felt like he had Jimenez in his pocket.
Yeah, dude owned everything over 6 feet high. Like, it was his. And Miles Robinson has his role as well. But I think in the games like this, what Walker Zimmerman gives you that Mark McKenzie doesn't, Miles Robinson doesn't, and Chris Richards doesn't, is that dominance in the air. So I think he's in, and you find a complement player next to him. And what Walker Zimmerman doesn't have is speed and a great touch with his feet. He's decent. I'm not going to say he's bad. He's not. But not that level that Berhalter's looking for to build from the back. That's what Chris Richards does give you. Mm-hmm. And I think Mark McKenzie is a hybrid of both. I think he's decent at everything, but I don't know that he's a specialist at any of those things. And I think that's why you're going to see Chris Richards and Walker Zimmerman together.
Okay. Any other positions you think you're going to see some rotation? You think we're going to see Edlin, or you think we see Cannon or Scally?
I think you potentially see Scally. I do. I think this is a game where you can kind of throw it a window. It's I'm not saying it's a waste game. It's not. But I think this, if you're going to pick a game to get Joe Scally a game, away at Jamaica, where, I mean, you're going to have the ball more than you are at most away games. Like I said, Jamaica's not a rollover team or anything like that. But I think you can take a couple of chances here. And you saw tonight, Zimmerman played on the right, on the side that Yedlin was on, because they wanted to have that more experienced defender on that side. They were putting the pace on the left. They're trying to deal with Chucky Lozano on the right. And I think that Scally could potentially get a start here. It really depends on what kind of camp he's having. You got to show it in camp, and Berhalter will give you the start. So what we don't know is how he's looked in camp. He didn't dress tonight. But I think that was an experience thing. If you couldn't have Yedlin on the field, I think Reggie Cannon is the guy that you're going to go to the lefty with the experience in the bullpen. And that's what Reggie Cannon was. Joe Scally is a bit of a wild card. I think Jamaica is where you might be able to play that wild card.
And Jamaica coming off, it looked like they were going to get 3 points tonight. They conceded in the 90th minute to El Salvador in the end of night 1-1.
I would like to see Jesus Ferreira for some more minutes. I definitely would like to see that at some point. I'm not sure what the right scenario is, and I don't know that it's a starting spot. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Paul Arriola with Tim Weah going a lot of minutes tonight, and he had a lot of runs.
Sounds like you're going for some rotation here.
I don't think he will. I'm saying it could happen. I think it really depends what players are leaving and what condition tonight and how they're doing. But I think you can see a couple of positions, but I don't think you're going to see too much.
Yeah. Connor giving me some grief tonight as well. It's like, I can't win around here. He's giving me grief. He says the scarf game has dropped significantly without Big J journalist Jason here tonight.
That's not one big scarf behind you?
It's one big sheet, that's for sure.
I was thinking you're going to drop in like some kind of green screen thing behind you.
I tried, you were going to be on
the field of Cincinnati's TQL awesome. Stadium.
That would have been pretty dope, but no, I did not. Do not have that ability. Let's go back to the phone, shall we? Let's welcome in Patrick from Baltimore. Pat, what's going on?
Hey, Dos Acero, which
absolutely.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
And sorry that Nikki, you weren't able to be there in Cincinnati for that. But at the same time, I was really impressed that, I thought McKinney didn't have overall a great game, but came through in an amazing fashion. And I thought that Wea had lots of really impressive tries, but it seemed like a lot of his stuff was deflecting, but he came through with the most amazing cross, right in the right place. And so I was really excited that both of those folks came through and sort of stood up to the moment, tonight.
Yeah, it was interesting. I, if we're being honest, I think Tyler Adams had one of his poorer games for the U.S. national team, and the U.S. still got a great result. This guy.
Dos Acero, gentlemen. Dos Acero.
Why'd you put him on, dude? This was our chance to be without him.
He could have done it himself. I have no way of
Wait. Your whole big WNBC show didn't even last an hour? God, rookies.
There's commercials. You break before the end of the hour, and then you get done, and then you go drink liquor and hang out with your boys.
Hey,
Dos Acero, Jason.
I told Nick 5 more minutes. We're wrapping up. Now we're going to go another half hour.
No. I don't want to extend the evening any deeper than it's already gone. I hope you guys have had fun. I hope that people,
I love going deeper.
All of the besties and all the people listening and calling in have been enjoying that, because I tweeted this, Jared, and I'm curious. I don't know if you guys have addressed this. I can't remember a U.S. performance against Mexico like that. I said maybe the best in 19 years, and I'm thinking the 2002 World Cup win. I don't know that we played better against Mexico than that since then.
I think I think maybe the one you and I were at was pretty dang good. That was a pretty good performance. I mean, there's a lot of good Dos Aceros, but what was one thing that we talked about is that, man, the second half, you saw what kind of fitness in a 23-year-old team, a U23 team versus dudes that had it's like both legs were made with those legs from the Christmas Story, just glass, and any moment the fragile, and any moment they were going to come off of them.
Yeah.
It was a very different team in the second half. And I think Mexico, it was a bit of a metaphor for who they are and where they're at right now. There was moments in the first half where you saw Mexico of the past, and the Mexico of the team the last 6-8 years has been very good. And then the second half, you saw where they're going.
But did you even get the, like, I think that obviously it was a lot more fraught in the first half, and Mexico had a couple chances and required Zach Steffen to make some saves. But didn't you get the feeling that the whole dynamic had shifted? We came into this game and I heard people saying, oh, Mexico's going to have the ball. The United States is going to have to counter. They're not going to have a lot on the ball. Tyler Adams is going to have to figure out how to mark Raul Jimenez out of the game. And then it was not that. The U.S.
Mexico didn't play a possession game. They
did not
play
a want
possession
the ball.
Game.
I don't know if they wanted, if they didn't want the ball. I don't know what happened there.
We talked about it a little bit. I think what it was is the press was good enough for the U.S. that they didn't get to take the ball easily out of the back, you know, and I think that was a big deal. And we mentioned this earlier that Ricardo Pepi is starting to pick the right times to press, where in the first games you saw him, he was pressing with a reckless abandon and the rest of his team wasn't doing it with him.
Oh, it was definitely.
You saw a united time of when deciding when to press. And how many times did you see Mexico booted out of the back from the corner?
It was very, very early. And obviously the press in the first minute is different than the press you're going to get 35 minutes in, 60 minutes in. But you could see that they were conscious about the press. And I think there was a moment where maybe McKinney missed a trigger. And Tyler Adams is, while the ball is kind of getting put back in play after I think they had crossed the touchline or something, he's telling McKinney, okay, you know, this is when you were supposed to go, not here. And it was very clear that they had an idea about that. And it worked. I mean, we've seen that not work, and it worked this time. There wasn't this whole thing about like, oh, they're going to do this for a little while and then it's going to stop and then we're going to try to figure out a new way to play and Mexico's going to get more comfortable. I don't think Mexico was ever comfortable. I really don't think they were.
I think Mexico's missing something right now. They don't have that line-breaking midfielder right now. They've got a lot of speed on the wings, And up front with Lozano and Corona, they missed a guy like Lines. I mean, not that I know he's playing up front too, but they didn't have that slasher. You know, Anthony Robinson got slashed up a couple of times. He could have got slashed up more, you know?
Yeah.
But I think they're missing what the U.S. has in Musa. Who was their guy that's supposed to be advancing the ball? Because they got the ball in midfield a few times, but they weren't able. It was just instantly out to the wings. Nothing through the middle. It's like watching that U.S. team play in those first couple windows where there was nothing through the middle.
Romo is not that guy. And obviously Hector Herrera is not that guy right now. And not this age. I mean, he's still a very good player. I mean,
Guardado's on the bench. He used to be that guy a bit, you know?
Not that guy. And they don't. Yeah, you're right. And you, if you don't connect. And look, Chuck Lozano had his moments, and he did abuse some American players on, you know, Miles Robinson won't play against Jamaica because he got abused by Chuck Lozano. And Chucky, you know, knows how to sell what he's selling, right?
Sure.
You know, I don't want to bitch about refereeing, but, you know, it's a little bit dicey to me that that was a yellow card at that point in the game.
Miles Robinson should put himself in that position, though.
No, it's true. That's fair enough.
And he didn't need to get the first yellow in the first place. They didn't even need to do that.
But I don't think he could read that that ball.
I don't think he knew that Robinson was in that line, that lane, and be able to get that. Yeah. So I think he was saying what he thought was the smart foul.
I didn't arrive here to rehash everything that you guys have already talked about. I'm sure you've covered most of it. I just wanted to celebrate with the boys here a little bit and celebrate with the besties and all of that. I mean, I know we had a bunch of them on the ground in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you got a bunch of calls from people in Cincinnati.
We only got one, but check this out. Look at this.
That's a great picture.
What a great picture. We got Allison. We got Freddie. We got Mike and frickin' Orozco Fiscal there in the background. Yeah. Mike Thomas from Philly.
Those are some quality mustaches there.
That's Allison's husband back there, I think, too.
Yeah,
and that's Eric as well.
Eric is there.
Oh, is Eric the one with his face hat cut off? Half cut off?
Yeah.
For the podcast listeners, you're not going to know what we're talking about, but there's a nice picture that we saw from a bunch of the besties getting together. And Freddie wearing the JD and the Rod shirt, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, let me answer this question from New Patch 36. Man of the match for me.
Look at he's already setting up his own bits. He's been here for 5 seconds.
I know. And we've totally railroad Patrick, who's waited patiently.
Okay,
ask your question, Jason.
Well, okay, so I understand why Weah is the first and obvious choice for a lot of people. And he created the goal, and he was dangerous all night, and he was the better of the wing. Not that Aronson was bad, but he was the better of the two wingers, and I thought he was very good. But I think Walker Zimmerman might have been the man of the match. I think Walker Zimmerman was massive in this game. And I think he did a good enough job. And look, maybe Raul Jimenez is not what he was last year, you know, 2 years ago before the injury. But Zimmerman did a good enough job that you didn't notice that Zimmerman was doing a great job, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll throw an honorable mention into Yunus Musa as well. I think Yunus Musa had a good game.
Yeah, he was great.
For me, I think it's Zimmerman, Weah, Musa. Those are my three that I would put out there. I thought McKinney had a decent game as well. I was just saying before you got on, I think Tyler Adams had one of his poorer games for the U.S. national team, but that says a lot.
He wasn't sharp on the ball, but he still did Tyler Adams things, which made everything else work. So
about it this way. In a game against Mexico, in a World Cup qualifier, you had what we've all said is our most essential player have one of his worst nights in the kit, and you still got a 2-0 result.
Yeah. Well, you know? I don't know.
That's where we talk about Walker Zimmerman, because he was able to step into a lot of spaces in this game, and not just with his head. At times, he was putting pressure on Jimenez. Every time Jimenez had a chance to bring the ball down and hold it right on him. You know, really making it tough on him.
Not to interrupt the JD and the Rod show here, but Patrick, do you agree with what everything has been said here for the last 8 minutes?
I feel so bad. Patrick's waiting. Patrick, what's up?
Yeah, no, not a problem.
You're on with the Jason Davis.
I didn't expect Jason on it.
We didn't either.
No, I thought Musa was amazing through most of the game, and I thought he did more create stuff through most of the game. But I was really impressed that Walker and other folks really were clearing out the set pieces, that we were not vulnerable in set pieces. And I thought that was something I was really nervous about, was how well we were going to do in set pieces. And we really cleared out most of those corners and free kicks.
In terms of the set pieces, the only thing I was nervous about was Zach Steffen, to be honest with you. There's a lot of things Steffen does well. I don't think, service
was,
on set
pieces he was good.
Is the best.
He didn't have
I thought he did well. I mean, he punches one player in the head, but that's what you do sometimes to get the ball, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he's been suspect in the past. And I remember a couple of FA Cup, because especially for Manchester City in the last year, where he has not looked good on some set pieces. So I thought he did well tonight.
Appreciate the call, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick, for jumping on. the last thing I want to add, and I can dip out. You guys can finish
this
thing.
What are you doing? Of course not.
Do you want to resume? I'm happy to hand over
role. No. We're not doing that. I just want to ask, how much have you guys talked about Pulisic and this T-shirt? Because that, to me...
Didn't know what it was, and then we caught bits of it, and then finally the chat kind of caught us up on what it was. Because they never show a shot of it on the broadcast.
And I only saw that because MLS had a picture of it.
I was hoping it was a Michael Jackson quote, lyric.
Well, it's Man in the Mirror, which is Michael Jackson, but it completely relates to what Memo... I'm assuming it relates to what Memo Ochoa said about how the United States wants to look in the mirror and look at Mexico and see themselves in the mirror.
I wish Weston McKennie had scored and lifted his shirt and said Dirty Diana underneath it.
which Michael Jackson song would be your T-shirt's message? That's a good question.
Man, okay. Dangerous? Wow.
Dangerous.
That's an album. That's not even a song. Maybe was it a song on that album? I don't know.
No, I don't think it was a song.
Well, I mean, if you're Weston McKennie, you can't do PYT.
No. That's where you have to play the drop, dude. That's where the Jay Rodeus drop comes in.
Damn, dog. That's an approach.
That one works, too. I'm just okay.
I don't know what song
I'm new with this. Jam. Please.
I know what mine would be. I know for a fact what mine would be.
Okay, what is it?
Smooth Criminal.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Smooth Criminal's got a. That's got a. Sean said it too.
Wait, do we have two boards loaded up right now? Who did the Dean just now?
No, I do not have my board.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you don't have. That would have been pretty funny. Dueling boards.
No, we're not doing that. That would be too much. Man, now my. I mean, you can't do Beat It. That doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't really have a message to it. Smooth Criminal is a statement of who you are.
Yeah, man. That's pretty
bad.
Good, man.
Just bad. But then you don't know that it's a Michael Jackson song because it just says bad, and then
Could you do Thriller? I mean, it was a Thriller of a game.
You could do Thriller. You could do Thriller. Mm. But then again, people are just gonna be like, "Oh, he's just saying Thriller." Like, what is that, a Michael Jackson reference?
Unless you were like this afterwards, like your goal celebration for the podcast listeners. I'm doing the Thriller dance.
I think you solved it. Yeah, I think you solved it.
Let's ask Matt his thoughts. What Michael Jackson song would you say it would be? Matt in Hawaii, welcome to the best soccer show.
Hey boys, how's it going?
Aloha.
Dos a cero.
Aloha to you. Dos a cero. I really have nothing to say. I have not felt so good in such a long time, and I just wanted to call you guys and celebrate.
And this just got the good Hawaiian stuff, and he hasn't felt this good in forever. You know,
waited on hold for 15 minutes to tell us that he didn't know what to say.
That's probably why he feels so good.
But that's why I like our listeners. He'll listen on the phone for 15 minutes just to come say and celebrate with us the fact that we won 2-0 against our biggest rival, the Mirror themselves.
Yeah, I mean.
I have not felt this good about a game in a long, long time. Like this game, this is the first time I watched a game with the U.S. where I wasn't screaming at something that Greg set up on the field, where I'm like things were fine. Like, yeah, sure. Like Tyler didn't have a great game, but, and you could nitpick certain things, but like, this was the most complete performance from this team that I have seen since I can remember. Like, it's been a while. I'm ecstatic.
We're talking Donovan Dempsey days, the last time like we you saw like a team put a performance together.
Can I make a statement? We say that the United States never missed a World Cup while the best soccer show was on the air, right? The United States we only win Dos a Cero against Mexico in Ohio when the best soccer show is around. That's what we do.
Literally in the building for one of them, and that's why it happened.
We
gotta make it happen again.
We missed that penalty.
We might not have one. Yeah. We might not have another one there, Nick. But for now,
for a while,
we revel in this. Yeah. We revel in this.
Anything else you want to add tonight, Matt?
Go ahead, Matt.
Nope, that's it. Have a good night, boys.
Aloha,
love you,
brother.
Matt. Thank you, brother.
Talk to you later.
All right. Dos a Cero feels good. Obviously, we talked about this is a great performance from the Americans tonight. Yes, we can nitpick. Yes, the red card to Robinson kind of sucks, but now we get a chance maybe to see Chris Richards. Again, there's going to be some rotation. McKennie can't play in the next match. We kind of talked about that tonight as well.
Busio.
So now we know where Jason's leaning.
Jason, yes or no? Joe Scally starts in Jamaica.
I'm going to say no, just because of the weapons that Jamaica has, the speed that they have. I think you need to be careful about dropping him in the deep end. And,
is Leroy Sané on Jamaica? Because I've seen Scally play against him. And he seemed okay.
Sure, I understand that. But I do think that the office and away in CONCACAF, I think that matters.
Those 5,000 fans could be really intimidating.
That's true. That I know it's only 5,000.
I say throw it out. I was telling before you got on, I was saying, like, you know what I want from this team? I want them to go out to Jamaica, and I want them to go out there and act like they're in first place in the standings. I want to go out there and play like you're the mother effing first place in the standings. You
By
know,
the way, can
gets
I say
cocky.
Something? I just saw Brendan Hunt, who plays Coach Beard on Ted Lasso. He just tweeted that they played Man in the Mirror in the stadium. After the game, the music nice. That they picked.
Nice.
Wow.
I got to give it up for this. Okay, we've talked a lot about this young team and are they physical enough? Are they do they embrace this rivalry and stuff like that? What I appreciate about this next generation is that instead of throwing an elbow or putting a cleat into a guy like we always have in Mexico, they troll them. They do the 21st century Generation Z trolling, you know, the t-shirts, the shushing in the crowd. Like, these guys are down to troll the other team. You know, it's an intellectual thing.
Generational.
That they do.
It's what they baked into
they
them.
Literally take what you would do in social media and do it to them on the field. And I almost like the psychological warfare more than the physical warfare.
Now, I know we still got the caller. I was doing the radio show. I was on WNBC. And I was talking...
WNBC!
This is after
NBC.
I can't remember if it was today or yesterday. Whenever Berhalter said, he said something about this Memo Ochoa quote. Like, he actually went out of his way to talk about respect and earning Mexico's respect and how I guess we won two games and it doesn't matter in 2021. When their camp is talking about the mirror and how we want to see ourselves and I don't understand any of that. They clearly made this a thing in that team. This was bulletin board material. And you don't really think of Berhalter as that guy. But he definitely used that as an element of this game and getting these guys. You don't need to get them up for Mexico, but just that little extra edge of they don't respect you. You have to go out and show them that they need to respect you.
Yeah. I was thinking about just now, Berhalter may have been bailed out of a tough eye surgery in your desk not being able to come. Think about how this game may have gone.
No,
and seeing
no
how
idea
Chucky,
what he
I mean,
said. Yeah, so, you dropped out. It's okay. You're like Sergio Nudes. You weren't here.
I think Berhalter got bailed out a little bit by Sergio Nudes not being able to make it to this camp. Because think about how many times Chucky Lozano got in the ball in tough positions. And yet still had to shoot him. I think Sergio Nudes may not have started this game even if he was healthy. That was
it's interesting.
I'm kind of scared about that.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to come in and railroad all this situation. You guys finish up with what you want to do here.
We're wrapping up. This is it.
Okay.
We've gone well over an hour and with good reason, right? I mean, it was a good result tonight. A lot of fans were very excited about Dos Ocero once again. I don't know how much more there is to add. Let's talk about what's next for the Best Soccer Show. Do we have plans for Jamaica? I don't even know if we've discussed that.
We have not discussed it. That would be Sunday night, Tuesday night if we do our normal show. I'm available. I'm not doing radio. I'm not on WNBC on Tuesday.
Oh.
So if you guys want to be back here for Jamaica, I'm down. Let's hope that
I don't like
points.
That Jason Davis is booty calling us. Like we're the girl you call at 2 a.m. if the other girl isn't around.
No, you're always my first girl. It's just that sometimes I have to go do maintenance on the side.
Side girl.
I feel like I'm the side piece.
You're not the side piece. You're the OG. You're the original.
I'm the first wife.
The other one's a trophy wife. I don't know how it works.
Oh, I'm no. Damn.
All right. Okay. So the plan is we're going to be back live Sunday night for our normal Sunday night show. Jason and Jared will be back bringing the Best Soccer Show, and then we will have post game coverage after the United States traveled down to Mexico. Coming up on Tuesday. What time is that game at?
It's a good question. I think it's a fairly early afternoon start, if I remember correctly. Something like it might even be maybe a 5 p.m. Eastern time kickoff for that game.
Really? Okay, so we're gonna be live around 7-ish. So
7-ish.
Make sure you join us, Jared. You gonna be able to make that?
I'm nobody's side piece. I'll be here.
Awesome stuff. So before we get out of here, just a reminder, make sure you hit that subscribe button down below. So that way, in case you forget that we are going live after the game Tuesday or on Sunday night,
the bell is what will notify you. Hit the bell as well.
Hit that bell. And then also make sure you know, if you want to get involved and become a bestie, which, you know, as I pointed out, I showed that picture earlier of the bestie reunion there in Cincinnati this week. One of our besties tonight, Connor, screen the phones for us tonight. Connor, thank
you
so much.
Give it up for Connor, stepping up big time. Thank you very much.
Did a great job of screening the calls. No, I'm not saying that's going to be a perk going forward because it's kind of like my thing, but.
It was so much better than Nick. I can't believe it.
Patreon.com/thebestsoccershow is where you can get involved. And of course, leave your ratings and reviews for the best soccer show over on Apple Podcasts.
And get yourself the bonus shows.
Yeah, the bonus shows. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, Jared, final thoughts?
Screw Mexico, up the USA, take it on to the island in the Caribbean, and let's do it again.
Jason?
Man, just reveling in one of the best American performances we've seen in a long time. Let's go get 6 points, boys.
That's a perfect way to end it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for the opportunity to host tonight, Jason. I appreciate it. I had a blast.
Great job, Nicky Soup and Sausage.
I appreciate that. And we will see you all on Sunday night. See you. Bye.
Who asked those questions?
The Sausage King of Chicago.
What are we doing?
Damn, dog, that's in a
boat. Oh, it's incredible. Oh, it's incredible. Oh, it's incredible.
Michael fucking Orozco Pascal.
J. Rodius.